Tavares takes the mound for his first start in a Blue Jays uniform. It is a supercharged atmosphere, and the only question will be whether or not David Price can control his emotions here today. It's been a great start to his afternoon.
It's the Blue Jays and the Twins on Monday afternoon, and all eyes on David Price. It's his Blue Jay debut.
A beautiful holiday Monday, the roof wide open. Fans who lined up for hours before the doors opened, clutching their Russell Martin bobbleheads. The stage was set for something special.
You know, there's different class of pitchers in the league. You know, anybody who's pitching, starting pitcher in the big leagues is good, you know. And then there's the guys, you know, that kind of separate themselves. You know, David's at the top. He's one of those guys. And
it's not expected that Price will remain a Blue Jay after this season, as he will likely test the free agent waters. But after his performance on Monday and all the love he received from the Rogers Center crowd, Blue Jays fans are hoping that maybe, just maybe, it's enough to make him at least consider sticking around.
Sportsfeld!
It is Sportsfeld. Story time. We move forward. It is for the means of this show. It is August 3rd, 2015, back from a week vacation in Montreal to return to David Price towing the mound for the Toronto Blue Jays. I will say that this game and this night was full of a lot of moments I'll never forget. And I think the very first one, when I knew this wasn't just a regular game, was he got a standing ovation for exiting the bullpen before the game started.
I remember this game was like, it was like I said, August 3rd, and it was impossible to get tickets. This is the only time in my entire life that I've gone to Skydome to talk to physical scalpers, because like there was just no way to get tickets. Like, it was sold out on StubHub even, I think, except for like paying $900 kind of thing. And I remember with Jacob Kramer, we went down to Skydome and talked to several scalpers, and they weren't even like, oh, here's two tickets for $150 each. They were like, I don't have anything. That was the excitement surrounding David Price's first game, which, other than playoffs and even including playoffs, I'm not sure I've ever seen that before.
Yeah. 45,766 fans for Blue Jays Twins on April 3rd at 107 on a Monday. Like, if you take David Price out of the equation, that will probably never happen again in our lives. Truly stunning. Truly, truly, truly one of the most amazing like combinations of events in my life.
It also felt like, I don't totally like how I'm going to word this, but you'll know what I mean. Like, it sort of felt validating in a lot of ways, like for like being a Jays fan through all those garbage years and going and seeing so many games with like 16,000 people, to have the, not even the whole city on board, which happens in Toronto when teams are good, which is great. I don't have a problem with that. But to have the whole city on board in the way that it happens, I'm trying to think how to explain this. It's like, I used to get this feeling when I was younger, and still sometimes now, that like, you can tell when it's a big deal, when like the people outside of like our Twitter sphere, especially at that time, were excited. And like the people who didn't read Drunk Jays fans were excited, if that makes sense.
Totally. No, it became the thing to do.
Yeah, it became the thing to do. And it became the thing to do with like pure word of mouth, almost. Like, the mainstream papers were writing about it, obviously, but it was just like everyone in the building knew why they were there. Like, no one was there to see a Jays game on Monday afternoon. Everyone there was there because of David Price.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. The Blue Jays, we sort of mentioned this in the previous episode, but they were a 500 team, just to like underscore sort of the run they go on here. At the beginning of this month, they're 53-52, which is 500 baseball. They're six games back of the Yankees. They're not even in second. They're a game back of Baltimore. The Baltimore Orioles, who we forget, were a good team for this little stretch here. Baltimore was 53-50. The Yankees were 58-42 and didn't win the division. The most telling.
They didn't make the playoffs.
It's crazy. It's truly ridiculous. The real crazy. The Blue Jays had the best Pythagorean win loss by far of that division. They were plus 103 run differential. They were 556 runs for, 453 runs against. It made absolutely no sense that that team wasn't running away with the division. And it normalizes shortly after this, where they do end up running away with the division and doing it, not effortlessly, but on the back of a bunch of huge runs. But they were 11-12 in April. They were 12-17 in May. They went 18-9 in June, which is when we sort of like, maybe this is finally it, and maybe they're gonna, they're a 500 club, and here they come. 12-13 in July. All of that gives you a 500 baseball team. But oh baby, David Price steps out onto the mound. He also got a standing ovation for going from the dugout to the mound. He hadn't thrown a single pitch yet. He had zero pitches, 0 minutes on actual gameplay, and he had already gotten three standing ovations. I will never, ever, ever, ever forget that.
I remember being like weirdly nervous for this game. For, game, whatever it is, game, they played 105, it's game 106 of a baseball season, beginning of August. Like, I remember, so when we couldn't get tickets to the game after talking to many scalpers, we ended up at the bar at the Loose Moose, which, if you're not from Toronto, is just down the street from Skydome, not a bar I frequent often. But the bar was packed because it was all people who also couldn't get tickets to the game, which was truly bizarre for a Monday afternoon at 1 o'clock. And we ended up sitting at the bar because it was the only seats we could get. Bar was full of Blue Jays jerseys and hats. We were in Blue Jays jerseys and hats. And I remember watching, I guess Sportsnet would have been broadcasting Price's like warm up, and everyone went quiet. And like, it was like this, like, oh, he's here kind of moment. And just watching him throw a warm up, it started to have that feeling in the room of like the minutes before tip off or the minutes before first pitch of a playoff game, which was really bizarre. Like, that game felt really important when, like, especially based on how the next 2 months went, it wasn't at all.
Yeah. We should mention it was a holiday. That's why they were playing at noon on a Monday. That is the civic holiday in Ontario, August 3rd. Yeah, boy, oh boy. I have a photo I took because I was big into panoramas at the time. If you remember, I was taking panoramas all the time of photos. It was the first time in my life I had ever been to a regular season game there that wasn't a home opener, where it was totally, totally, totally full. To your point in not being able to get scalpers, it was the first time I'd ever seen the seats. And if you've been up in the 500s before, you will know this. The seats beside the Jumbotron, that like half of your view is cut because you are sitting beside a gigantic video screen. Those seats were filled.
I know those seats well. You're right. That was like the barometer that year of like how big is this getting, was when those seats had people in it.
And boy, those seats had people in them. It was truly, it was everywhere. And I think this is around the time when the names got painted on the sidewalk that are still there, I want to say.
Yes, I think you're right. I do. And also, a thing that I found sort of surprising to my brain rewatching this game was that this was before the dirt infield was put in.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That to me feels like it happened a decade ago.
That I agree. That is one of the strangest, like, going back and rewatching this, I was like, oh, that seems impossible.
There wasn't a dirt infield for the bat flip, which, like, has Mandela affected itself into my brain, I guess, to exist, but it didn't.
Boy, I tweeted a lot in this couple of days. That's a lot of tweets from me in this.
Do you have any good ones?
Well, keep in mind, I also went FUSMC happens a lot in this sort of I tweeted that a lot. You remember that?
Yeah.
Donaldson,
oh,
fuck
yeah.
You.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Which I think that was that from the KC game? I think it was.
No, it was from a little earlier in the year, but it was certainly brought up a lot. There's a lot of me, just me saying that I'm laughing like a crazy person. A photo of me drinking water, which was good stuff. Ground balls to the left side of the infield contain adult situations. Viewer discretion is advised.
What a fun, weird time that was.
August 3rd, 1:09 p.m., 2 minutes after first pitch, I just tweet the words, "Am I alive?"
I feel like I'm not going to speak for anyone else. I know everyone has like fun memories of this season, no question. But like, I think we were sort of like the perfect age and time in our lives for this season to happen. And it will never happen the same way again. Because this was kind of just like chaos for 4 months.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. And I think even 2016 wasn't nearly this fun, right? It wasn't even
right.
It wasn't 2016 even close.
2016 was infuriating.
Yes.
That whole year, we were like, why aren't they better? Fuck these guys.
Yeah, boy, oh boy, I was firing up. There's tweets of me watching a game in the pews at a church in a goddamn wedding because David Price tweeted they were gonna go 111-51 and they almost did. Boy, oh boy, it's just like you said. It was. It was really just such a rush to the head. It was such an unbelievable coalescing of events and everything coming together all at once. There is things that I remember so well. I remember, and we will talk about his pitching performance in the next one, but sort of the things that I immediately took away from this was how calm he was at all times. And like, he would always, rewatching the game for this, I totally came flooding back to me, is he would pat himself on the chest really lightly twice, like before anything of that was important. He would just pat himself on the chest twice. And like, I was like, oh man, like where has this been on this team as a guy that, like, because he gets into trouble in this game and he just pats himself on the chest, goes right back to doing what he does. And the other thing that I remember just blew my mind watching him pitch for the first time was how subtle and small his windup was. Where, if you remember, it was just like he would just take the smallest little step to get himself going and then unleash it. And I had, like, I was used to huge windups and guys like throwing their ass out and really, like, he was just so he was so collected and so calm, and it was so small and efficient. I was just blown away at the way this dude pitched.
I remember a thing that I probably should have shared in the first episode, but forgot about till the second. I remember, like, in 2012, I want to say, I went to a game to see, like, that bad Blue Jays team. They played the Rays and Price was pitching. And I remember I was with my friend Kale and we had really good seats. It's like some of the best seats I've ever had for a Jays game. Like low 100s behind home plate, because there was only like 12,000 people there anyway. And I remember we got to watch Price up close. And it's like, obviously every sport is very different when you're up close, but I find, just because of my interest, I find baseball so interesting up close, especially watching a pitcher. And I remember he just like kicked our ass. Like, it was,
yeah, he always pitched well. He always pitched well in Toronto.
And like, it wasn't even close. Like, the fast, like, because when you're sitting that close, you get a set, and behind the plate, you do get a sense for like how impossible it is that any pitch is ever hit in baseball at all. And this was like young David Price just working and just killing us. And I remember watching this game in 2015 and being like, oh man, like 3 years ago, I was like, imagine if this guy ever pitched for us. And then lo and behold, and it was just like this cool, like, I mean, it happens with the Raptors and Kawhi, or, you know, the Leafs and Tavares, or any player you watch. You're like, wow, if we only had, we had this guy. But then there's those rare moments when your team does get those guys, and it's just like, fuck yeah, look at us.
Yes. You mentioning it, that sort of having great seats to see a great pitcher. Zach and I got first row the first time Yu Darvish came to pitch. And you remember rookie Yu Darvish was sickening. And he just like, it was child's play. He was just blowing the ball past whatever year's team that was. Holy smokes. Holy cow. Also, I want to mention this in my tweets from that day. 11:52 a.m., immediately following Jays versus Twins, it's on. Sportsfeld, you have 4 hours to get your questions in. I believe that was like a six-person episode.
I think so, ridiculous. Yeah. My dining room table. And then Kramer and I had to go play dodgeball afterwards, and we were not in good shape.
Help me out here. Something charged up. Why did I say charged? I say charged up like five times in 2 days. Was that a thing?
I have no
idea. Was charged up a thing?
The only thing I can remember from of like that was this. I remember the stir it up thing.
Yes, I remember that too.
I don't know what charged up was at all.
I said it a lot.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Huh. Charged up. I say it. The title of the episode is Charged Up. I write Charged Up as soon as the first pitch happens. I say Charged Up the day before. I say going to see David Price tomorrow, Charged Up. What in the world?
I guess you were charged up.
At the time, I bet it made a ton of sense. I bet it made an absolute ton of sense.
Definitely. Oh, definitely made total sense for sure.
Boy, oh boy, I'm ridiculously happy just going back and seeing this. I played nine holes of foot golf that day as well.
Foot golf.
We should also mention, yeah, it's golf with soccer balls. It was really fun, but it hurt
that
my.
That sounds calf. Great.
Also, we should mention the 31st, they traded for Ben Revere and Lowe, not Derek Lowe, but somebody else, Mark Lowe. And I have a message here. Today's trade is for a player who is merely very, very good. Oh, well. And Sean correctly lets us know that Charged Up was a Drake thing.
Sure.
Which
before predates Big Rings, which is my Drake thing of the 2015 Blue Jays.
I stay silent because we at one. I'm very patient. Six God is watching. I just hope you're prepared to face him. I'm charged up. I'm charged up.
Charged up. Obviously. Oh, yeah. I remember now. He had just done the back and forth with Meek Mill. So charged up. Was the first of two diss tracks.
Oh,
charged up and back
right.
to back. Remember that?
Back to back.
Yeah.
Back to back, I remember for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you, Sean, the guy. I don't know why that was my rallying cry. But please excuse my 3 minute side thing here about charged up. Anyway, what matters is the 2015 Blue Jays were effing incredible. And David Price, I can just hear it now from the dugout to the mound. And I believe Buck Martinez says the only question now is whether or not David Price will be able to control his emotions. Oh, buddy, do you not know? Next week on Sportsball Storytime, first pitch and everything after, David Price makes his debut for the Toronto Blue Jays. Please join us next week on Sportsfeld Storytime.